When he's calling for you, listen to your heart. There's nothing else you can do. Today we're going to continue in our series we've been doing over the last 7 or 8 weeks on tuning in, how to hear God's voice. We are learning how to hear the voice of the Lord. And so we started off, let me quickly review and give you what we've been talking about so we can continue in our journey. First of all, we talked about being a sheep, that God has called us as sheep, that the shepherd is calling out, that God is speaking, and we should be listening, that God is wanting to speak, that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. We looked at the second part about how he calls us friends and how we're not just sheep to him, but we're also friends of God. That he longs to have that personal relationship with us, and he calls us friends. And that we're also called to be prophets. And a prophet is simply this, a person who declares what they are hearing. So if God is speaking and we are listening, and then when we speak out what God is saying to us, we are prophesying to each other. We encourage each other. Of course, we know prophecy to be words of edification, affirmation, building up one another with words of love. And so today we know that God has called us to speak out what we are hearing. He is speaking, we hear, and we speak out what he is saying. I also talked to you about how to hear God through the storm. The week after the tornado came, we came through and we talked about how to hear God through that tough season in our life and how God still speaks to us through the storms of life. The week before that, we talked about confirmation, how to confirm God's voice, and how everything that's spoken out to us, that we should be able to confirm it through God's word. And we confirm the word of God speaking that is spoken to us, that I am not called to hear God for you, I'm called to hear God with you, right? So we don't come to our pastor and say, Pastor, you got to hear God for me. No, I'm called to hear God with you. I hear God with you, and what I say to you should be coming to agreement with what the Holy Spirit is already speaking to your life. And so far too long, we look for other people, spiritual mentors or pastors or leaders in our life, and we want them to tell us what to do. And even though it's great instruction that comes along with that, as a mature Christian, we should be able to hear the voice of God for ourselves, and these people should be able to speak to us and confirm what God has already spoken to our life. Last week, Pastor Matt did an outstanding job in talking about stewarding the spoken word of God. How do we handle what God has already spoken to us and make sure that our life is able to receive good ground, to receive the word of the Lord? Today, I want to, as we start to bring this thing to a close, I want to answer this question. How do you recognize God's voice? How do you recognize God's voice? That's probably the million-dollar question. How do you really know God speaking to you, and how do you really hear God speak? How do you recognize his voice? Let me put this to you in the simplest way I can give it to you is simply this. We recognize God's voice through relationship. We recognize God's voice through relationship. If God doesn't speak today, let me say this statement to you. If God does not speak today, then the worst thing we could ever do is tell somebody they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if he's not speaking, how can they have a personal relationship? So when we tell somebody, you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that is because our Savior, our God, still speaks today. And he still speaks to you and I today. And so we got to believe that, we got to recognize that, and we got to learn to say, God, we want to hear you in a new and fresh way. So I want to give you quickly today, I'm not going to keep you a long time, but let me give you quickly 3 things about our personal relationship with God. First of all, it's got to be our highest priority. Our personal relationship should be of the highest priority. It should be the number one, numero uno in our life. It should be up there as our highest priority is me developing that relationship with the Father. In Genesis chapter 3, the Lord has showed me something here. I want to share with you today in Genesis chapter 3. I believe you're going to hear some things today that may be even fresh and new in your life that's going to confirm this thought, how God wants to speak to you and I. We see in Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to read this verse in just a second. But before we get to this verse, and verses following this verse, before this verse, and 1 through 7, we see where Satan came and he tempted and got Eve and Adam to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and the evil. And we see in their life where we know, of course, God set up the Garden of Eden to not to be a place of paradise. And he said, you can have everything you want. You can choose from anything you want to choose from, but just don't do this one thing. Isn't that just like us? I mean, how many times do we do that? How many times do we do the one thing? We have all these good things to choose from, and yet we'll end up doing the one thing we shouldn't do. I think we're still the same struggle today, isn't it? We're still the same. We struggled in the garden, and we still see that in our own life. We'll end up choosing many times to do the one thing we shouldn't do. But in Genesis chapter 3, Satan uses the same thing that he uses today with them. He tells Eve, he says, listen, if you'll just eat of that tree, you can be more like God. And think of the irony of the statement of this temptation, because Adam and Eve are already formed in the image of God. They are already communing with God. They are communing on a level that you and I really don't understand. I mean, they are spending time in the garden talking with God. And yet Satan comes to them and says, if you eat of this tree, you're going to be more like God. How many times does Satan come to you and say, listen, if you'll just do this, you'll have more peace in your life. If you just do this, you'll be happier than you've ever been. If you'll just try doing this, or if you'll just stop doing this and start doing this, you're going to find peace in your life. You're going to find what you're looking for. And he tricks us, and it ends up happening many times. It's almost 99.9% of the time that when we do what he tells us to do, it ends up being a trick, and we end up being worse off. We end up being more miserable than we've ever been. We end up losing things that are precious to us. We end up losing relationships that we think are going to be mended. Things happen in our life when we listen, and Satan still is using the same trick that he used in the garden. He's still trying to use that same trick today to you and us, that he tries to deceive us and tell us, if you do this, then you will be more happy. So let's pick it back up now. He's already tempted them to eat of the tree. They've ate of the tree. They're feeling guilty. And look what happens in verses 8 through 10. Talking about Adam and Eve. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, most theologians agree that this would be in the morning time. Okay, so in the morning time, God would walk through the garden. This wasn't just a one-time thing. This was something that was happening daily at this point, okay? This was a normal thing to be happening. God would walk through the garden and commune with his children, talk to his children. It says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? And look what Adam's response was. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, we see a thing, something happening here in this verse. First of all, we see it was early in the morning. And as I begin to read this, my mind began to go and begin to think about how excited God must have been. That he would love to get up every morning. That he wasn't asleep, but he would love for us to wake up every morning and spend time with us. And I begin to think about it. It kind of reminded me of my son Hayden, because he's an early riser. He's the kind of kid that, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, his head's at the pillow and he's out, you know. Other kids you got to tell get to bed, not him. When he's ready to go to sleep, he's out like a light, and man, he's gone. But when he wakes up, he's up. And he's alive and ready to go. And so, maybe you guys can recognize this. He's the kind of kid that he'll be there and he'll stand right next to my bed in the morning before I'm ever awake. And he'll get down right in my face and he'll just stare. And you kind of wake up, you know, bedhead, and you wake up, and what are you doing to my face? He's like, I didn't think you'd ever wake up. Are you ready? Let's go. What are we going to do today? I mean, he's just so excited. He knows better to wake me up, but he gets right there in my face and just waits, anticipating for you to wake up. And you're like, spooky kid, don't do that to me. You're going to get hurt. You can't do that to your dad. But he's so ready. I think that's the way God was. I really do believe that. In the morning time, he was walking through the garden in the cool of the morning. Adam, Eve, are you ready today? Because I believe he was going through, and he was taking them through and showing them new things of creation. Hey, come here. You guys are not going to believe what I'm going to show you today. Let me show you what I created. Come here. He takes them on a hike and shows them. They stop and look at this. Wow. that waterfall coming out of the side of that mountain flowing into the bottom of the garden. I created that just for you. There's a thing I call swimming. Go swim, man. Go that. I mean, just them discovering God's creation, and he was taking them through. They get through swimming. Hey, look out over there next morning. Let me show you these things, the big ears and the big trunk. This is the elephants, man. I heard the elephants going through. I created those for you to enjoy. Isn't that cool? What a cool thing, man. I mean, God loved communing with his people. He was loving doing this. And for the first time, how sad. I thought, how sad was it? How sad was it that morning for our Savior? How sad was it that when he called out to Adam and Eve, this is their response. We hid from you because we heard your voice in the garden and we were afraid. I mean, I thought, that must have broken his heart. That must have broken his heart so tremendously that the key people that he longed to be with in the morning, the people he longed to speak to, would say, we hid because we were afraid to hear your voice. He's thinking, afraid? What have I done to cause you to be fearful? At this point, he had done nothing that caused them to be fearful. They did not know that powerful side of him that if he needed to bring judgment. At this point, they had no clue about judgment. They had no clue about the force of judgment that God could bring. So there was no reason to fear him. But yet they said, we were afraid. We didn't hear from you. We didn't want to see you because we were afraid. You see, when sin entered the world in the garden, it separated us from the voice of the Lord. That's what happened. The voice of the Lord no longer was able to be heard by every person because sin allowed them to be separated. Sin allowed them to be guilty. Sin allowed them to hide themselves. You know, I've been married for 18 years now. That's pretty good, isn't it? Not bad. It's not as good as some of you I know, but 18 years, we're getting close to that 20-year milestone, honey. And, you know, I can call my wife. And I can disguise my voice and try to trick her. And she knows every time that's me. I can call my kids and try to act like the principal of the school and tell them that school's been canceled. And they know it's their dad. They recognize my voice. Even when I disguise it, they can still recognize my voice. Why is that? Because I'm with them every day, right? Now, let me give you this example. My own father, who raised me, and we live 2 hours apart. Now that we're not in constant fellowship every day, now that I only speak to him maybe a few times a week, maybe once a week, a few times a week, we're able to speak and talk on the phone, who is also a staff pastor at First Assembly of God in Muskogee, I can call him up on his phone, and I can say, he answers me, yeah, is this Pastor Gene Beebe? He'll say, oh, yes, yes. I'll say, I was at your dinner the other night. You guys had that church, and I got food poisoning. I went home, and I just was so sick. Went to the doctor, and somebody from that church is going to pay for my doctor bills. And he'll fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. No lie. I could call him up right before his favorite game. The OU's getting ready to play. And I'll say, is this Pastor Gene Beebe? Yes. I'll say, my son's in the hospital. We need you to come out and pray for him a little bit. And I can hear him trying to think about the contemplation. OU's getting ready to kick off, and... Well, we'll get somebody out there as soon as possible. And, you know, I'm like, well, I really need prayer right now, sir. I need someone to meet me right now. And I was told you would meet me. He'll fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. I know you can't believe I would actually do that to my dad. But, yes, I do that to my dad. And I know it surprises many of you. If you're a guest today, just stick around. You'll hear lots of stories. But the reason why is because even though he's my father, I haven't been communing with him daily. And so the familiar in my voice, even by me just slightly changing the voice tone, can very easily throw him off and he can't recognize it the way he used to because I'm not living with him daily. So how do you and I learn to recognize the voice of the Lord? Through talking to him daily. Simply put, we'll never ever recognize God's voice clearly and know until you learn to daily talk to the Lord and daily listen to what he has to say to you. And the people who do that are people who learn to clearly hear. They tune in. They know God is speaking to me today. God is leading me today. God is in control of my life. This is what he's telling me to do. This is what I feel led in my life to do. And it's a very easy thing. You know it's God. You don't have to go, Pastor, I was praying, and I think I heard this. Do you think maybe God would be saying, you know it because you are doing it every day. Every day you're spending time communing with him, talking to him, and he's speaking. He doesn't want you to be afraid of his voice, but he wants you to long to fellowship with him every day. The second thing we see is our highest priority. It's got to be our highest priority, our highest pursuit. We got to pursue this more than anything else. We got to pursue the God. We want this relationship with you more than anything else. Notice in the garden, there was two trees in the garden. The tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. And also, what's the other tree? The tree of life. You notice which tree did he say not to eat of? The knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life and the rest of the garden, they were open, right? Is this true? All right, so we know the tree of life and the rest of the garden was open. The one thing he did not want us to partake of was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Keep that in mind. Let me propose this thought to you. Is it possible, and I believe it is, that God never intended for you and I to know the difference between good and evil? He never wanted us to know the difference between bad and good. He never intended for that to be a choice of the world, between bad and good. All he had in mind in creation was the thought of us walking in constant fellowship with him. And he never planned, his original plan never called for you and I to have the knowledge of good versus evil. He only wanted us to live according to what? Eating the tree of life. What does the tree of life represent? Relationship with him. The relationship with him, that's what he intended for us to grow in. That's what he intended for us to eat and to consume. The knowledge of who he is, revealing himself to us, revealing his creation to us, revealing his plan for our life, revealing his greatness, his wonders in our life. He wanted to reveal that to us. He never wanted us to know the knowledge of good versus evil. He always wanted to live out through the tree of life. It's through relationship, hearing his voice. God doesn't want you to decide, is this a good thing or a bad thing? He didn't want you to have to make a decision. Is this a good thing or a God thing? You know what decision he wanted you to make and for me to make? He wants to make, is this a God thing? That's what he wants. Is this a God thing? Is this line up with what my Father is, the nature of what he's taught me? It's a God thing. He wants us to hear his voice. Look what Hebrews 9:14 says. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. Look what it says. Cleansing your conscience. It cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let me say this. Your conscience was given to you as a place to know I need a Savior. Your conscience was given to you as a place where, you know what, I need a Savior. But after we are saved, our conscience becomes what? Cleansed. Our conscience becomes cleansed so that we can realize we serve the living God. Because if not, our conscience will always try to make us earn our salvation. If not, our conscience will always try to make us realize that our salvation comes through works, which it does not. We know that to be very false. We are not saved through works, though any man can boast. We are not saved through our works. We are only saved through grace, only through the grace and the gift that Jesus Christ gave to us on the cross. By dying for our sins, we know this is the only way that we receive salvation. But our salvation, our conscience is cleansed from dead works to serve what? The living God. So at salvation, my conscience says, I need God to be my Savior. I ask him to come into my life, forgive me my sins. And at that point, my conscience is cleansed from dead works, and I walk into a new relationship with the living God. So no longer do I need my conscience to tell me what to do. It's the role of the Holy Spirit to tell me what to do. It's the role of the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me. He says the Holy Spirit will come. I send you the Holy Spirit, and he will tell you what? Many things he still wants to reveal to you and I. He wants to talk to us daily. It's a relationship. How do we hear God's voice? How do we recognize God's voice? It's through the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we know if what to do is right or wrong? We know through the Holy Spirit. It speaks to us. God doesn't want you to live by your conscience. He wants you to live by the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, is conscience a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. New Testament even talks about our conscience being a good thing. But what I'm saying to you is this, God's original design, he wants the Holy Spirit to lead us. He wants us to be worried about the Holy Spirit leading us and tuning in. If I would just tune into the Holy Spirit and it's leading to my life every day, you know how much easier that would be? I would have to decide, am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? I just know I'm doing the right thing because I'm following after God's will for my life. I'm following after God's voice for my life. God wants us to have a good conscience, but that it would bring us through a relationship of hearing God's voice. The third and last thing is it's our highest passion. It's got to be our highest passion in our life. Our relationship with God, getting to know him personally, it's got to be our highest passion in life. Luke 10, look what it says here in verse 38 and 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. This is talking about Jesus. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And so she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Go to the next slide. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We see the story is a very awesome story because we see the part where Martha and Mary is serving. Martha stops serving, goes in, sits at the feet of Jesus, listening to the voice of God. And look what happens. Martha goes in. What happens? She settles down, Martha. Mary's chosen the good part. That's what he was saying. She is chosen the good thing. You see, when you take time to listen to God's voice, when you take time daily to hear God speak to you, you are doing the most important thing you can do for that day. When you take time to hear God's voice, it says you are doing the good part. Not only are you doing the good part, but what's the result of that? It will not be taken away from her. What it simply means is this, that when you sit down in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening or at bedtime, whenever you have a chance to sit down and spend time alone, hearing God's voice, you are choosing to do the good thing. You are choosing to do the important thing. You are choosing to do the thing that is most needed in your life. And not only is it the good thing, not only is it the good thing for you to do, but also is this, when God speaks to you, it shall not be taken away. And this is what's great, because in your life, there's a lot of things that have been taken away. In your life, there's a lot of things that can be torn from you. We realized this tragedy a month ago, didn't we? That our things can be taken away in just a matter of seconds. They're gone. We know that precious life can be taken away in a matter of seconds. We know possessions can be gone. We know relationships can all be taken away. But there's one thing that cannot be taken from you. It's that when God speaks to you, you can hold on to that promise. You can hold on to that direction. You can hold on to his voice. Because when he speaks, that cannot be taken away. That's why when someone's going in the middle of the storm, they can stop and say, you know what? I'm okay because I hear God's voice. I've heard God's voice. And he's telling me, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I'm going to sustain. I'm going to make it. I'm going to recover. I'm going to bounce. Things are going to happen in my life. I'm going to return back up. It's okay because God has already spoken it to me. I'm his child. He's my father, and he has spoken. I am the sheep. He is the shepherd, and he's calling out my name. And even though it may seem like I'm walking through the dark, I still listen for the shepherd's call, and he's leading me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But surely what goodness and mercy. They're following me all the days of my life. The shepherd's calling out my name. It's okay. I've heard God speak, and I can hang on to that. I've heard God speak, and it's a promise in my heart. It sustains me in my time of trouble. It sustains me in my time of turmoil. It sustains me in my time of pain. It sustains me in my time of grief. It sustains me in my time of loss in my life. It will not be taken away. So when you deposit what God is saying to you, you're depositing the one thing that can never be taken away from you. His word to you. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Look what it says as we're getting ready to close. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure. This is what God's saying. Those who hear his voice, all the way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, we see the children of Israel, God has given them a special command. This is what he was wanting to have in a relationship with his children. If you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be a special what? A special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be like, be to me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. At this point in Scripture, who was the only people allowed in the presence of God? The priest. So he's saying, the people who hear my voice, they're going to walk in the holies of holies. The people who hear my voice, they're going to be a special people. They're going to be treasured. They're going to be valued because they're listening to my voice. They're going to be a whole kingdom, a priest, a holy nation. And look what it says in the next chapter, chapter 20, verse 19 through 21. Then they said to Moses, this is the people's response. You speak to us, and we will hear. Don't let God speak to us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. What we see happening here is this right here, that God all along has wanted to pour out his voice, to speak his voice to his people. And even back then, they said, we don't want to hear God. Moses, you go hear God, and you tell us what he said, but we're afraid. And this pattern was repeated all throughout the Old Testament. We see where God only spoke to certain individuals, certain prophets, certain people that he used, but the rest of the people that did not want to hear God, they feared his voice. But the great news is to you and I, that Jesus Christ came and he died upon the cross. He ripped the veil of the temple. And now you and I can come and we can hear his voice very clearly without fear. And he says, those who hear my voice, you're a special people. Those who hear my voice, you're going to walk in a new treasure. You're going to walk in a new anointing in your life because I'm leading you and I'm guiding you every day. So do not allow yourself, church. Let me say this again. Do not allow ourselves to get to the place like they were in the book of Exodus. But I said, Moses, you hear from God, and then you tell us. Yes, it's good to come and hear sermons from your pastor. Yes, it's good to come and receive. God uses pastors. God uses leaders to speak and disciple people and to share the word of the Lord. This is how you grow. But he also wants you to hear God for yourself. Simply put, he wants you to hear God for yourself. He is designed that he wants to walk through the garden with you in the morning. That's always been his original design. That's what his original design always was, for you and I to experience a fellowship with him that's daily. He loves spending time with us. That's what he wants. And he wants to speak to us. The question is, are we going to listen? Are we going to make it a priority in our life? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Today, I just want to ask this question. I want to make sure today that maybe you're here, and like so many people every week that have given their heart to the Lord, that maybe you're here today. So, Pastor, as you're talking today, I realize that God is speaking. And the thing I hear this morning, most of all in my life, is that I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And today, I want to make that decision to follow after Christ. I want to ask him into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. No other important decision you'll ever make than this decision right here. Nobody's looking around right now. I would not embarrass you one bit at all. But today I want to give you a chance to say, I want to make this decision to be a Christ follower. Before we go any further, I want to make sure everyone here has that chance. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm ready to make a decision. Nobody's looking around. If you're here today, I'm ready to make a decision to follow after Christ. I want to ask him to be my Lord and Savior of my life. Can you just raise your hands where you're at and say, that's me, Pastor? I'm ready to do that. Thank you. Anybody else want to join this person today? Raise it high where I can see it. Say, I'm ready, Pastor. Today's my day. Accept Jesus Christ. I want to make sure heaven's my home. We had those who raised their hands this morning, so I'm going to ask you, we're all going to say this prayer together. Simply say it after me. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am today. All of my hope, all of my pain. It all belongs to you. From this day forward, I will live for you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. I accept your forgiveness today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Let's give him a hand clap. We appreciate you guys. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, it's just the beginning of a journey that God wants to establish in your life. Before you leave today, stop by the back information table. We have a free Bible and some other things to tell you what to do next. If you don't have a church home, you need to find a church home. We'd love to have you here. Get around people who support you and help you grow in this relationship with God. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. Today, is it okay if it's a little bit different crowd today with the holiday crowd? And so I'm going to invite you to get out of your seats and come down and join me in the front as we close this altar time together. Could you guys just come in? Let's just draw close together this morning. As we close out this closing song today. There's something powerful about coming around the altar with friends and praying and worshiping the Lord together. I'm encouraged. I just feel that increased anointing when I'm around you. I feel more encouraged as you're close to me. Even though we've got a lower crowd than usual, I still want you to make sure you pack in. We can make sure we have plenty of room for people to get in here. So make sure you spread out a little bit, guys. We're going to kind of cram in here. That's all right. We got a big weekend to plan. But today, before we kick off that big weekend, the rest of the night and tomorrow, I want you just to take time to God. Today, I thank you for your freedom in my life. You know, we have freedom in our life to hear God's voice. How many today say, Pastor, I want to hear God speak to me clearly. I want to learn to hear God speak to me very clearly. I want to learn to develop that relationship you're talking about where daily I know the Holy Spirit is leading my life. Is that you? You making that prayer this morning? We do. So today, if you make that your prayer, I want you just to kind of raise your hands where you're at. It's a sign of surrender. We raise our hands. Scripture says we raise our hands in the sanctuary. It's just a sign of surrender, simply what it is today. And we raise our hands saying, God, we surrender our life to you. We open up our life to you. It's a form of surrender. With our hands raised today, Father, I pray for every person here that, God, we would learn to hear your voice in a clear way. We would learn to hear you, God, in a fresh and new way. God, I know that you're speaking, Lord. The shepherd's calling. And Lord, as sheep, Lord, we want to hear your voice. Through our dark hour, we want to hear your voice. Through the darkness, God, we want to hear your voice. Through the good times, we want to hear your voice. Through the hard times, we want to hear your voice. Daily, God, we want to hear your voice. And with our hands raised today, we say, Holy Spirit, come. Fill my life today. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me fresh and anew. I receive your spirit today, God. I hear your voice. I am free. I am free to live for you. I am free to sing to you. Come on, let's sing this chorus together.
There is freedom. There is freedom. Give your all to Jesus.
Give your all to Him.
There's freedom.
There's freedom.
Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Yeah. Freedom reigns in this place.
Today.
Great is your faithfulness.
Declare it.
Great is your faithfulness.
Oh Lord, my God,
great is your faithfulness.
Oh Lord,
great is your faithfulness.
Thankful for God's freedom today. Are you thankful today? Are you thankful for His freedom? Man, that's fine. Just give Him a hand clap. Just tell God, I love you so much. Justin's going to come this morning. He's going to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Thank you so much for being here today. Let's close out in a strong word of prayer.
God, we want to thank you so much for the freedom that we have in you, God. And Lord, we celebrate that freedom this morning, God. Lord, and we also celebrate the freedom that we have to hear your voice, God, and to have a relationship with you, God, a relationship of love, God, and of trust and of peace, God. And I pray, God, that those relationships would grow stronger, God, so that we would not be afraid when you speak to us, God, but that we spend so much time with you, God, that we would know your voice, God, even before we know our own voice, God, any other voice that may try to sway our attention. God, we love you. Lord, we thank you, God, for this freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.